back to the board, and then this would be the group that would kind of coalesce that stuff and start a program.
Yeah, so we've got it.
Are you actually talking, Bob, about developing the specific program in Bridgetown, or just developing initially ideas and bring back?
Yeah, and I think it has to come from, each community has its own.
I agree, I'm really in the process now.
Yeah.
We just bring back things that we think we need to concentrate on, and then we can develop and apply a plan from that.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the discussion yesterday was to, for SEPA to be the tip of the spear on that.
According to this, that's what it says.
Yeah, but I think.
To consider at a local level.
I think it comes the other direction, because we know our community, and, you know, I think it benefits us actually more than it benefits SEPA.
So.
Because they want to sell us power, and we want to conserve our power.
So what about this? What if?
$100 million project.
Yeah.
What if the objective of SEPA's portion is just to show the positives and negatives, the list of positives and negatives as it relates to SEPA, as it relates to the generator, and having that as a report, and then each community would go from there. But is it the fact that SEPA needs to know that, just the effect of it?
So I think the challenge here is establishing the scope for this topic, because it can be really, really broad. And I think there's going to be a number of studies. And maybe just to revisit the objective a little bit, the overall objective for a review of demand-side management should make be a determination, is there an opportunity for the member utilities to actively pursue demand-side management? Is there enough meat on that bone there to really spend a lot of time and effort to do it, to potentially offset or delay the building of a large project? That's kind of the decision point that your demand-side management, at least from SEPA's perspective. You guys may have other dynamics at play in your community that maybe that's something that's important to your community and you just want to do it anyway. But that would be the thing I'm trying to do, is get a little bit more information. Is that something we need to pursue? And how that blends in for the timing of a new project?
I think that is the intersection between the member communities and SEPA. It's SEPA's analysis. Are we going to go for the $80 million next increment of power, and when, and can that be delayed by effective demand side management?
Okay, so if I'm capturing this correctly, so the SEPA's role, the timing on the DSM would be dictated by the municipals. Is that what we're saying?
No. Yeah. Do you mind restating that rule?
Well, I think to try and fit it in your box, it's SEPA's trying, the analysis is almost alongside the analysis of the next power supply, because it's a timing issue. How much power do we need? When do we need it? Well, part of that is answered. So maybe it is, and what Trey's saying is that, so the level of study, do we just model? Is it just a modeling exercise of what each community can produce? Or do you need to go more specific? And I mean, I think almost you have to decide what study SEPA needs to do alongside when you're going to, are you going to do wind or solar or run a river pipe? You know, it kind of is along that. That's how I see it.
So if we were just to set an objective here, is it just the coordination of the process you develop, or you're just going to say that, let's say you sit there and develop, hey, but next time when we're doing alternative generation development, part of that will be the design, the demand side management component of that. I guess that is that the is that what it,
I think. We want to do an analysis to see if there's an aggressive demand side approach across all three member utilities could have a substantive effect on the timing of building a new generation asset.
Okay.
Okay.
And You know, that could be a very involved process. I mean, everything from member surveys. Do you have electric baseboard heat? I mean, because you're going to want to try to identify a specific component in your membership that is your target to, say, stimulate them through an incentive process to put in a heat pump in lieu of electric baseboard, as an example.
Is the thought process then that the utilities would then report that information back to SEPA, and then SEPA would take it, understand what the impact then would be for future generations? Is that correct?
That's open for discussion. It can be a very complicated and time consuming thing. I think if trying to figure out the scope of what you want to do
would be part of it.
Yeah, and what your low hanging fruit is there, and I think you'd have to bring in a demand side management consultant and probably do some interfacing and with the communities. And you know, it's got to be something that the member utilities support too. Otherwise, it won't get off the ground.
So maybe that's step one, is just develop the process how you would like to see it progress.
Potentially.
Okay, here's what I've got. All right, so I've got need evaluation of demand side management impact on need and timing for new generating asset development, and it requires input from communities, from member communities. That cover it?
Could you?
I would actually drill that down to ratepayers, because that's where the information. Maybe we end up facilitating that in our own communities through a coordinated effort at the same time. But it really then they focus here on them.
Okay.
Right.
Got it.
Right.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much. Just want to make sure we got that one squared away. All right. We got time for one more.
And the timeline on that may be a little bit different than we anticipated or talked about yesterday.
Yeah, so we had it at Q2 of 2021. So
yeah, I think we'd probably go through year end. By the time you get a contractor on board, get RFP out, and try to get, you know, a demand side management expert to come in and support that, put the scope, schedule, budget together, and all that, it's going to take some time.
Okay, so
and there's really not a big hurry because we're timing this with the strategy for a new generation, right?
So we want that by budget cycle for 2022?
Yeah, it'd be like the end of next year.
But we put it in a budget, and we finish budget for 2022.
If I have to, I'll come back before that and get a budget adjustment to hire a consultant to get the bones of that put together.
Q4 of 2021?
Yes.
Okay. Great, thank you. All right,
Eddie,
you
want
to kick us off on
the next
one?
That makes sense. Okay.
Oh, well, I guess the question is, what is the next topic that you gentlemen and ladies would like to cover? So, as far as marketing, let's see. Administration.
Let's talk a little bit about additional staff. We haven't talked about that yet.
All right. Additional staff?
Admin.
So, anyone else? Everything?
I think presently we all know that we're running a very lean machine, and we're putting a lot, as you look at the stuff on the wall, in regards to moving ahead with SEPA's, I guess, direction. And it's going to take some more staff in order to get everything that we want done, especially when we bring on relicensing, we have technology issues, and other needs that are going to arise. How do you pay for them, and when do you bring them on? And of course, we're going to require our CEO to advise the board of that. And so I guess I want to know kind of where we're at now and what we're looking at.
Well, okay, take a swing at that. So right now, as you mentioned, we're very lean, and everybody on staff is wearing multiple hats. And I think as the responsibilities of the organization and board objectives expand, some of those will morph into individual jobs potentially, and especially as you have some transition to through retirements, that clearly we have some very high performance staff now and with some very unique skill sets that they can do multiple important jobs. You know, for instance, our accounting person also is doing HR. Most places would have a full-time HR person or outsource part of that. So there's an opportunity to outsource part of that stuff. You know, right now, if I had to go, if I was going to add some additional support right now, I would be looking to free up our really specialized people like engineers so they can focus on the more important stuff. I'd probably hire an IT SCADA programmer type person that could do firewalls and switches and communications and things like that to take some of that stuff off of the plates of the folks we currently have. That would be a key position that we could fully utilize today, undoubtedly. And then in some of these other areas, contracts, board, if we increase our board meetings and Jaron's got to take on more minutes and stuff like that, then, that takes away from other stuff she's doing, where she's doing contracts and insurance and board meetings. Most places have a dedicated clerk just for a portion of that, right? So you can see that we're very thin, and if we lose any one particular person, then it's a big impact.
Question with regard to the additional personnel or staff is one of the things that we've talked about with the aging workforce acknowledged leaving is if we wanted to go out and attract and try to get young talent from our communities, that's going to require some kind of a training effort, whether or not it's an apprenticeship, whatever you want to call it. That's going to take revenue. Or that's not temporary, but that's going to take additional time, resources, and money. So is that something we're willing to explore and do? Because it's easy to say it right here. To say, yeah, we're going to pick up an apprenticeship for one of our power plants. But that requires a development program. That requires additional time for training from staff and a significant cost in personnel.
I think that can be wrapped up into succession planning, and I know that Trey, you've done some of that with your staff out at TAI, but I think an organization that isn't thinking about that ongoingly, you're doomed for failure down the road.
So to give folks a little bit of the history since I've been here, we went through a succession planning effort earlier. When I first came on, because we did have a number of retirements ahead of us, met with the board, showed everybody's retirement ages and stuff and had that discussion. We did bring some people on ahead of those retirements to get them integrated into the system as early as possible. I will say our staff is so lean and wearing so many hats that it's very difficult to do an OJT thing for the administrative management end of things. We brought on an internship a couple of times, and it's almost a full-time job trying to keep the intern busy and trained. And you can give them value for their effort of coming on. So we've made a little bit of effort in that area, but, the thing that makes SEPA operate as lean and mean as we do right now is we have super talented, seasoned folks on staff, and you head them in the right direction, give them some guidelines, and you hire the right people to get the right job done, and they don't take much care and feeding. That's a key component to our current structure of staffing. In the event that we do bring on, some type of an apprenticeship, those get a little, are you talking trade side or admin? We could get a long discussion, but we don't want to get lost there, but. But for the short term, I think there's one or two, an IT person immediately, we could fully utilize that person and would probably help with our project execution as we will be in the relicensing here pretty shortly. Certainly bring on a full-time person ahead of that to put that strategy together and have early engagement with the agency. So I don't know if I answered the question or went too far.
So how concerned are you about burnout?
That's always a consideration. And so we brought on the admin assistant here a couple of years back, which was really key for giving Kay and Sharon an opportunity to take some time off because they just couldn't take time off. So that's just, you have to manage that on how you load them up and what the projects are you're approving and the timelines that you're demanding. And so I'll say that's a management function. If you know, if you're burning people out, you need to ratchet back a little bit or hire more people or outsource more.
Do we want to add to this communications plan? Do we want to add attracting and retaining talent, local talent?
So far, just because I'm involved at so many different levels in the industry, that our recruitment has been pretty robust. I think we've done well at our recruitment to date. But a good manager is always recruiting, and I think that's a nugget for the board, that you know, if you're out there and those opportunities come up and you know you might need to fill that position a year or so from now, now's the time to fill it. You got somebody queued up. Timing for these hirings is everything. And so I think the board's been reasonable in that area and given me some flexibility to make that happen. So I think that's important.
Excellent. All right, let's get down the objectives then. So in terms of proposals, here's what we heard. Outsource some work as opposed to hiring in-house to save on cost. Who are we talking about potential for outsourcing? IT and engineering? Or
HR.
HR?
So we do some outsourcing for different components, and we've been looking for those little sweet spots that are a nice, neat fit. We do currently outsource all of our IT support. And some of our accounting functions, we're moving those with this accounting migration. Some of the payroll stuff, we're moving into a more automated format. So that's how we're handling some of that right now. So you look for those opportunities, but for the most part, if we're working on a project, you know, we're hiring necessary consultants for this, that, and the other.
Okay.
Rather than bringing on somebody full time.
But are you? Do you have a desire to have anyone full time? Do you have a pain in terms of like the need? Is there? Did you mention IT?
We could hire an IT guy now if they had the right skill set, that they could wear a couple of different hats, we could keep them busy full time undoubtedly.
Okay. Is that? Do you want to establish an objective of doing that?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So. How will we know when we've arrived, hired new IT professional?
Well, but for the board's level, does he need to report to the board about hiring, or does he need a hiring plan that he reports to the board?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that would be the question. You just need to develop a hiring plan of the needs that you have and the financial effect on those needs.
Well, so technically, I mean, as the CEO, it's his role to hire everybody. Their oversight is over the CEO. So
do we not have a function in, like, when you create a new position, does that come before the board for new positions, or is that strictly CEO function?
It would typically be handled like in the budget process would be a good example.
Yeah.
If I thought, you know, we were coming up, and we've done that before where we went out and did an early hire, for instance, and so we would budget a duplicate position for like 6 months so we could bring that position on early and do a transition. It'd be similar to that. And of course, you know, the job description, and that's kind of an internal process, I would think. But the broad approval for the financial impact would be a board decision.
Captured it there. So, okay. So in terms of outsourcing, in terms of the objective there, what's your objective there? Having the resources? What are you?
So like the demand side manager, rather than bring on a staff or put it on an extra staff, we're gonna hire some kind of a contractor to come in and manage that program.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in a larger utility, or you know, even like KPU or somebody, if they decided to take on demand management, they'd go hire a full-time guy because that would be a full-time deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we look for those opportunities. I guess in answer to your question, we'd be looking for those opportunities to outsource.
Right. Okay. So then basically it would be a similar scenario on the objective, and then instead of hiring an IT professional here, you would be hiring an outside consultant subject to board approval via budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Got it.
I had a question. I'm going to beat the horse here a little bit, because I hear us talking about administrative staff, the engineering, and so on and so forth in the front office, but that doesn't address our issues at the projects with the trades. Now, if we're talking about wanting to keep, and it's a decision that we're going to have to make, is do we want to go out and outsource for that? Well, I can tell you that we're not going to easily reach into our communities and just find power plant electricians and power plant mechanics. We're going to have to reach out to the lower 48, other utilities, raid other utilities to try to get that. We can do that a lot of different ways. But if we want to develop those positions from within our communities, that's going to take work. And I don't hear that we have any kind of plan to address it other than we'll kind of get there. We'll figure out how to hire the position when it comes available. Well, we're not going to be able to hire from the local community and do the training by just doing that. So it's going to require some kind of a plan, I think. And this also is a problem, an issue for the utilities at the utility level as well. But we need to have an idea about what it is our message is for that particular issue. And if we want to keep those people and grow them from within our own communities, it's going to take some work.
So growing from within the communities, limited resources, and even the core problem is the unions don't have the capability to provide trained people. And for the most part, they don't allow us to train them to certify them. They don't recognize hours in powerhouses towards your journeyman electrical license. There's some fundamental flaws in there that we're not going to fix today and probably not in the next 10 years. So far, our approach is to understand, for the most part, what our life cycle is of our folks out in the plant, know when they're planning to retire, and be proactive in recruitment ahead of that to get